The big, sprawling house that had seemed to be dozing in the afternoon sun erupted like a kicked anthill. Harris crouched on the bottom step of the stairs, holding Cecilia's hands in hers, until someone fetched another chair for her. Four or five women in blue tunics bustled in and out, up and down the stairs. Boxes and suitcases began to accumulate in the front hall, as the sun slanted farther and farther through the windows into the room.
I knew you would come. Brunn knew you had to leave.
I'm sorry I couldn't get you out right away. Your family blamed me, and I didn't even know about the bequest.
No, it's all right.
The lift opened, and out came two women, a hover chair, and another stack of boxes. Two men came in from outside and began carrying the growing pile out to the driveway. Harris winced at the thought of Cecilia at the mercy of Drew's driving. The lift came down again, this time with what looked like a hospital bed folded up. A woman in a big apron appeared at their side with trays.
Milady, time for your snack.
Harris watched as Cecilia managed to find the food on her plate and get it into her mouth without incident.
Milady, I'm sorry, but are those artificial eyes?
No, not exactly. Ask medical.
Cecilia went on eating. Harris was suddenly ravenous and found herself engulfing one thick sandwich after another.
Where and how did Cecilia find another great cook?
I should see about the shuttle schedule.
Don't worry about that. I called Annie, and she'll make sure we've got one. She thinks we should wait until the opposition lawyers have left.
Shadows chased the sun across the driveway and up the front of the house, leaving the windows clear to a distant blaze of sunset behind trees. Harris stood up to stretch and walked outside. Fine brushes of cloud high overhead. A shaggy dog stood up to look at her, then shook itself and wandered away, tail wagging gently. So peaceful here. She wanted to stretch out and sleep the night away. The caravan started for the shuttleport well after dark. Harris, breathing in the fresh, damp air, found herself wishing she could stay longer. She rode with Cecilia, two of her medical team, and a lawyer in a real car. Drew drove the truck with supplies and equipment. Another car carried the rest of the medical team, and the cook. The lawyer had kept Cecilia busy all evening. They could not risk alienating the magistrates with her disappearance. Calls and letters had been necessary. Now he was taking notes on her orders for the next few months. Who could vote which stock in which company? What to do if Berenice and Gustav tried to interfere further in the recovery of her competence status? Harris marveled at Cecilia's energy. She looked old, sick, exhausted. But she pushed herself, kept going, stayed alert. Harris dozed, half ashamed of that, but knowing she had a long watch ahead when she must be alert. Although it was nighttime, the shuttleport looked dark and almost deserted. Harris wondered what had gone wrong. Then someone came out of the dimly lit terminal and leaned into the driver's side of their car.
Oh, it's you. Just go out on the runway. Follow the yellow lights.
In this way, the caravan trundled down a long runway to a dark shape bulked at the end of it. Harris felt she'd fallen into some surrealistic action-adventure. She had never, even in dreams, imagined herself sneaking along a darkened runway toward a clandestine shuttle. And she had a burning curiosity about what Cecilia could possibly have done to generate this level of loyalty on the planet. She had no time to ask while the truckload of gear was put aboard the shuttle's cargo bay, while she and the medical team carefully eased Cecilia and her attachments into the shuttle's shabby passenger compartment. They were not the only passengers, either. After Cecilia and her party were aboard, half a dozen others climbed up and settled themselves at the back of the passenger space. Perfectly ordinary, the sort of people you'd expect to find taking a shuttle flight up from the surface of any planet. Except, Harris noticed, they all had remarkably similar bulges in their clothes. At the station, Harris noticed that one of the chartered passenger ships had gone, and the corridors were almost deserted. Everyone, including the shuttle's other passengers, helped unload the shuttle and move its cargo to the yacht. There, Harris found Annie, off-duty, as she explained, and Oblo lounging in the loading area.
I thought I told you to stay aboard.
Oblo gave her his innocent look, and she winced inwardly.
I am aboard, legally. There's the line. I was chatting with Annie here on the station comm, and we discovered some mutual interest, so when she got off shift, she came over.
Right, fine. Now let's get our owner on board and her gear installed.
Oblo looked hurt, another of his certified expressions, and vanished up the access tube. Annie gave Harris a cheerful grin, intended to disarm.
Thought you wouldn't mind if I came around and made sure your ladyship was secure. Just in case those lawyers snooped, although since all our exterior videos seem to be on the blink right now.
Amazing how equipment around here seems to behave. For instance, the shuttle tonight...
had a block in the hydraulic line to the steering of the nose wheel. They couldn't seem to get it to roll into the usual parking slot and decided it was safer to keep it on the straight runway.
And yet they felt it was safe enough to fly?
It got you here, didn't it? And if any nosy person was looking for unusual activity, all they saw was a dark field.
Harris nodded, not bothering to mention that any decent surveillance gear would pierce the darkness like a needle into wax. But Annie must know that.
It was most convenient.
Well, we hope so. By the way, that tech you had running errands for the ship, Skoterin, isn't it? One of those lawyers stopped her and talked to her for a few minutes. I'd given her warning they might be coming through, but I guess she was curious or something.
I'll talk to her. They'd been briefed, of course. I'm sure she said something appropriate, but I'll check.
Do that. M'lady, oh, it's good to see you again. And you do look so much better.
To Harris, Cecilia looked pale and exhausted. But Annie would have seen her the first time she came through, she realized. She must have looked much worse then. Now, Cecilia struggled and achieved a smile.
Thank you, Annie.
Behind Cecilia came the trail of people pushing dollies loaded with equipment, luggage, odds and ends. Harris left Cecilia with her medical people and Annie and went on into the ship to get the crew ready for departure. To Oblo, who had been hovering in the access tube as if afraid he'd miss something, she gave the task of directing traffic.
Brigdis, we're going to want a fast but very safe course back to the Guarni Republic.
Harris was glad to see that Sirkin looked bright-eyed and capable again. She had done much better on the trip from Guarni, and Harris hoped whatever had been wrong was now over and done with.
We don't want to take any chances with the Benignity, not with our decoy clone and Lady Cecilia aboard. Methlin, I want our weapons ready but not lit. If we do run into trouble, I want to be able to surprise them. Make sure standby mode is really standby.
I've got this course plotted already, Captain.
Harris looked at the string of numbers and the display. She realized she was too tired to follow through all the calculations.
Did you check this with Oblo?
No, ma'am, not yet. He's not been back to the bridge this watch. Vivi got me the latest data from the station master's nav file. I thought if she went for it instead of calling in, nobody could tap the line.
Good idea.
For an instant, Harris wondered why Annie hadn't mentioned that when she was talking about Skoterin. But Annie was off watch now and might have been when Sirkin requested the data. It didn't really matter. The outside communications board blinked, and Harris reached for it.
Captain Serrano, this is Station Master Tadeus. If Annie's still over there, would you ask her to come to the office? I've got a question for her.
Harris wondered why he hadn't used the station paging system.
Of course.
Sort of a confidential thing. Nothing to worry you, though. More like a filing problem.
I'll tell her right away. What about clearance for departure?
I'd like 5 minutes, just to make sure nobody's coming up for a shift change. 10 if you can give it to me, otherwise you're cleared.
Just like that. Harris had never heard of anything so casual anywhere.
I'll tell Annie.
Annie was still chatting with Cecilia. The tail end of the equipment train was just about to enter the access tube.
Station Master Tadeus asked me to tell you he'd like to see you in the office.
Well, then why didn't he... Sorry, m'lady, but I'd better scoot. Hope to see you again soon in even better health. Bye, Captain.
And Annie took off down the corridor much faster than her looks suggested.
I've got to go back aboard, m'lady. We'll be able to depart once everything is aboard and stowed.
And how long will that be?
I'm not sure. I'd guess less than an hour. Lady Cecilia can come aboard now, but there's no place to sit, really. No furniture except what's just come aboard.
Better there than here.
Cecilia's hands moved on the hover chair controls, and the chair lifted, swaying slightly.
Good idea.
Harris felt stupid not to have realized that Cecilia didn't need any other chair to sit on.